From in the beginning to the musical apocalypse, this is The Bible Says What. I'm your host, Mike Wiseman. Today's guest called in using a phone line that was, at times, less than perfect. This was not his fault. The minor technical difficulties are flaws. Something that contains flaws cannot be perfect. Most Christians will agree with the Bible's claim that the laws their deity set up in the Old Testament are perfect. One of the many issues that hinder these laws from reaching that impossible level of perfection is the punishments established by the Christian deity and placed in the Christian holy book. The consequences for various sins or things that Yahweh doesn't like are grotesquely excessive. For example, according to Deuteronomy 21, verses 18 through 21, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, they are to take that disobedient child before the elders and inform them of his willfulness. Once the boy's crimes have been reported, Yahweh wants all the men of his town to show him no mercy and stone the child to death. This rule is barbaric and not how any parent should deal with their difficult children. Yahweh, the cold and demanding Christian deity, finds this to be a perfect law. As a rational, empathetic human, I find this to be an awful idea that is far from perfection. In Matthew 5:32, the Christian demigod in sandals equates divorce to adultery. He claims that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to become an adulteress, and anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Besides not giving a pass to the men and women who leave spouses due to abuse, both emotional and physical, the Bible gives no choice to the woman in all of this. The decisions of her husband control her life. According to Yahweh's own breathed-out words in Leviticus verse 10 and Deuteronomy 22 verse 22, the penalty for both parties involved in adultery is death. Jesus is advocating for the death of divorced women. This is not a perfect concept. These are ridiculous ideas put forth by ridiculous men and not a perfect deity. Why would anyone want to worship the monster that finds these laws to be perfect and awesome? Let's start the show.
Is there anything in the Bible that you yourself have an issue with? Okay, so it took you reading the Bible to realize that those things were bad for you?
Yeah, it actually did.
Couldn't figure this out on your own?
No, Ted Bundy could be redeemed. God doesn't kill children.
What do you think the Passover was? Yahweh sets up a whole system in the Old Testament where you slaughter animals just so he's able to forgive you.
So welcome to the show, man.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. I know everyone has a little extra time on their hands right now with the whole COVID-19 thing going. So
definitely.
I should definitely have time to do this for sure. So I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Why don't you go ahead and tell us how to pronounce your last name?
It is a German name, so it's Ryman.
Ryman. I was going with Ramen. I was way off.
That's all good. So I've gotten worse. I've got some people like to put a D in there, so it's Reedman.
Oh wow.
It actually comes in handy when people call and ask for Mr. Reeman. You know, I know that is not the right, you know, like I probably don't want to talk to this person.
right. Telemarketers and whatnot, for sure.
Yep.
Awesome. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do?
So, on the more like, I guess I'll use the word religious, you know, religious side, not much, in the aspect. I used to be on staff at a church, and then, I also ran a congregation for a few years with a couple, friends of mine. But right now, you know, I'm no pastor. I'm not. Like my dad was a well-known author, you know, and so on that side, nothing fancy. But I am mostly, I'm a business owner and I have a business, and basically to simplify what I do is I build websites for people. So I've done a lot of church websites over the years, probably in the range of like 50 of them, over the years. So
that's a lot.
Yeah, it is. So I used to be able to crank them out pretty quickly. Now I'm doing a little more sites that are a little more complex, but it's all good.
So where do you stand in your beliefs?
I would say, so in, if you just, man, that's a hard question. Why is that so hard? So I would say I don't label myself as a Christian anymore. I would say I'm a messianic believer. If I were Jewish, I would say I'm a messianic Jew. So if you're familiar with messianic Judaism, that's kind of my philosophy. That's where I have landed over the years.
Interesting. So explain a little bit the messianic Judaism. Why do you believe it, and what exactly?
It kind of started actually while I was on staff at a church. I was I remember it quite vividly, sitting there reading Exodus, and it said, do this forever, talking about the Passover Seder. And I thought, you know, why don't I do that? You know, if it says do this forever, it kind of made sense to me that, hey, maybe that is something that I should be doing. Growing up in the church, I mean, I grew up Southern Baptist at Charles Stanley's church, you know, 20 years there. You know, good, I guess, Southern Baptist teaching there. But I mean, overall, you know, his teaching, you know, I didn't know how to do a Seder. I didn't know how to begin to do anything that was, I guess I'll say, messianic. I did in 2018, I was able to go to Israel for the walk at that point, about 16 or 17 tours to Israel. My wife and I went, and we were able to go, and it really opened my eyes to just the Jewish culture. And I've since have led three tours after that to Israel. My dad wound up doing a total, I think, of like 29 tours before. But that really, just getting kind of diving into that culture, you know, a lot of it is a biblical culture. Even though I know that, you know, 80
hour
Jews would say that they're secular Jews, so they don't necessarily believe in God. But it's still, you know, the overall, I mean, there's a lot that can be learned if you know the culture. And then if you look at the New Testament, and if Jesus did things, or I, you know, in Hebrew, Yeshua, or I guess Aramaic, I'm not exactly sure. Anyway, I call him Yeshua. So if I slip and say Yeshua, sorry, same guy, different name. But, you know, Jesus did certain things at certain times, and he did them intentionally. And he did them, you know, because people, the culture, you know, he spoke to Jews, and Gentiles weren't really brought in until, into the fold, I guess, would be, you know, Acts 15, you know, really post, you know, Jesus's time. So
Jesus is
that answer the question? Is that too much information?
Fantastic, man. Fantastic. I love it. So Jesus is still your Messiah.
Yes, of course.
But you follow more of the Jewish traditions, am I right?
Yeah. So I would say think first century. You know, the specifically like in Acts 15. You know, they were saying, no, these Gentiles, for them to believe in Yeshua, they have to convert. I don't believe that. And I think the apostles, you know, nailed it, you know, got it right, where, you know, they're a conversion is not required, you know, to follow Yeshua. But it is, I don't think there's anything wrong necessarily with trying the commandments. I mean, especially if you read something like Matthew, you know, many times Yeshua said, you know, all you have to do is follow my commandments. You know, right. I think Matthew 5:18 and 19, you know, he didn't come here to abolish the law or the prophets. Mm-hmm. He came to complete them. And if you were to just read, you know, if all that survived was the book of Matthew, very clear that it says, you know, for you to be a believer, you need to follow the commandments. Those are still 613 commandments that are valid. I mean, at least first century it was. Now, without the temple, there's a lot of things that cannot be completed. You know, but I think that was where a lot of, at least where the apostles, you know, started. You know, is they, to me, and I'm sure this is a kind of a term that would be, not a term. I just some people would disagree, you know, that they didn't follow the commandments, you know, once he was nailed to the cross. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, reading what Paul said, I feel like they all continued to follow, the commandments.
I completely agree with you. I feel that Jesus wanted people to continue following the law as well. That's what it says. I mean, it's very clear. I want to know how you decipher which laws to follow and which laws not to follow. You said because the temple wasn't there that some of the laws aren't there anymore. Like Leviticus 10:7, if you leave Yahweh's tent with oil on your head or on you, you die. I'm sure that law doesn't affect anymore.
Yeah, I would think with really is something like 280 or 281 commandments that are temple based, mm-hmm. right? And so in 70 AD the temple was destroyed, so those things cannot be followed. But so I think it was just
that temple that he was talking about, not just any temple.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, because a lot of them you have to deal with the altar. You have to have, you know, the altar. And you think about in the Old Testament, when the Israelites were split into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, mm-hmm. you know, the northern kingdom, they had they set up a temple so they could continue to do the altars. They actually, or to actually did it mostly for all of the tithes going to Jerusalem. They set up their own temple, but that was a invalid, a kind of a sinful, I guess, you know, temple. So, there is one, you know, one valid temple.
So there's sinful temples and there's valid temples.
Well, there, yeah, to a certain extent, yeah.
Gotcha. So Yahweh does not like the sinful ones.
Correct. 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 So, no, I mean, I would think, you know, I think a lot of the things with Yeshua dying on the cross, and he knew
there was essentially
the law was nailed to the cross.
Uh-huh. You cut out there for
did
a
I
minute.
Cut, did yeah. I cut out? Okay. I apologize. So,
use a safe word.
all good. They would, people would say that Yeshua, you know, everything was nailed to the cross,
right.
Basically all of the law. And mm-hmm. I don't think that's what was nailed to the cross. I think the penalty of the law was nailed to the cross. So we are no longer, if I can't follow these commandments, I still have grace. I'm still going to be able to, go to heaven. You know, even though I cannot follow these commandments, but I think we do it kind of in the spirit of the law. You know, this is something that God wanted us to do. And some of these things will be reinstated, you know, during the millennial reign, some of these things will come back. Like, you know, if you, if you cannot, I forget where it says it, probably like Zephaniah or Zechariah, I forget. But the temple will be reinstated, and it says people that cannot celebrate Sukkot or the Feast of Tabernacles, that nation won't get rain. You know, that is that's a future thing. So I think a lot of these things. I'm sorry?
That's so messed up.
What's messed up?
They're not giving them rain.
Oh, well, yeah, it's a big deal. So especially in certain areas of you think of Egypt and Israel and those areas, there is not a lot of water half of the year. Well, yeah, Vegas. I'm just like a desert, right?
It's just like a desert. It's the weirdest thing.
So yeah, and people live there. It's by choice. It's weird.
Weird. Yeah, some people get stuck.
Yes.
But you're okay with the laws as a whole. You're okay with them.
Yeah, I think it's something. I think it's God's original plan.
So these are the Psalm. I think it's 19:7. The law is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect. You believe it's perfect?
Yes.
Okay. So when it tells you, well, let's just go off of the you can't leave his tent or temple with oil on you, or you're going to die. How do you justify that act?
It's not that maybe I don't understand the question, with the temple not being, intact.
Regardless of if he wants it now, he did at one point, the law is perfect. You know, this is perfect. This is a perfect idea that if you have oil on your head and you leave Yahweh's temple, he's going to kill you. That's a perfect idea to him. I don't really see how that's a perfect idea. Number one. Why would he implement such a weird a law? And do you find this law to be perfect?
I would say it's what God intended, what God wanted to do. So do we have a choice to really argue and fight with that?
No choice. Well, I mean, we can have a choice as to find it a loving act, find it a perfect law. If the law is telling me, let's go to Numbers. What is it? Numbers 15. That's what it was. Numbers 15, where if you're caught picking up sticks on Yahweh's special day, then he's going to have everybody in the town stone you to death. I don't think that's a very perfect law either.
Right.
I mean, do you find these laws perfect and awesome? Would you want them reinstated? I mean, I wouldn't want that reinstated.
I would say we're in a state of grace at this point. I mean, that a lot of those laws are pointing that came because we knew we
cutting out there.
Follow all of these. Okay.
The laws are pointing to what? Sorry.
I would say the law was pointing to a Messiah that would come.
Gotcha.
And therefore, because we have grace, because of the Messiah came, we don't have to follow these things, and we don't have to. We're not under that law anymore. If that makes sense.
Yeah. No. I mean, you think you told me that the laws are perfect, and you think they're awesome. But we're still not. I just want to know why you think this particular thing is a good idea.
I'm not sure if I didn't say that they were. It was awesome.
Well, I mean, perfect.
But I also
perfect. I mean,
yeah. I would say it's perfect. I mean, that's what James, said. I mean, he calls it the Torah of grace. I can't say that everything in there is good, but people being stoned because they sinned, that's not a good thing, but God has the right to do that, and he has given us a way to survive under the law because of what his son did.
Well, I think it's kind of brutal and messed up to kill somebody just for picking up sticks on a day, even if they told them
for
not
sure.
to, but it says in Romans 5:20 that the law was added to increase trespasses, to increase sinning. Do you believe this to be true?
To be honest, I'd have to read Romans 5:20.
It says the law was added so that the trespasses might increase.
I don't necessarily have a problem with that. I'm not going to disagree with Romans 5:20. Would you?
Well, it says that it wanted trespasses to increase. So if Yahweh wanted to increase sinning, and as in Romans 6:23, wages of sin is death. So
hard,
he wants
to
increase
say that you,
death?
It's really hard for me to agree with the statement that we would want God wanted us to continue to sin, or God wanted us to increase sinning.
Well, I mean, that's what Romans 5:20 says, though. It says the law was added, and Yahweh is the one that added the law and made up the law and came up with the law so that trespass will increase. And then the wages of sin, which is the trespass, is death. So he wanted sinning and death to increase. Why? That's what I'm wondering.
That is a really good question, and I need to read that that chapter, the full chapter. Just getting one verse out of it is going to be hard for me on a phone call here.
Yeah.
So
happens all the time. No worries. So, so you're okay with the laws. What about the punishments for these laws?
I would say punishment is. I think that goes back to the cross. Where that has been paid in full by his blood.
Interesting. So
there might still be consequences, to it in the aspect of laws. You think like don't eat pork. They didn't eat pork back then because it was an unclean animal that basically can get you sick. Right. I don't think if I were to eat a ham sandwich today,
mixed fabrics. I mean, you can't even wear mixed fabrics. I mean,
right. Well,
pretty specific.
It is. But I mean, like if I were to eat a ham sandwich today, I haven't eaten, pork in forever. So,
bacon,
20 something. Yeah. It's been 20 plus years. So,
My goodness.
I know, it's crazy. So, and everything's better with bacon.
Everything.
To best.
I would think that, God has given us grace. We can eat it. I just don't think it's a good thing to do. I mean, it might make you sick. I don't know. But.
What about shellfish?
I've never, that's not true. I ate crab once. It just kind of grossed me out.
It's kind of a weird meat, that's for sure.
I mean, I don't eat it, because it's not kosher. So.
Yeah. So you're okay with these punishments, the stoning to death for picking up sticks or... Leviticus 29, where if you curse your parents, Yahweh wants people to stone their kids to death, or at least he did want to before Jesus came. He thought this was all a great idea. This was his plan. This was his idea. He still thinks they're a great idea. He still thinks the law is perfect, and it's a show of good things to come.
I wouldn't say I think it's a good idea, though. I mean, it's not good. What is? I would say it's not going to be perfect until sin is eradicated from, once the new heaven comes or the new world, comes. So I wouldn't say that stoning anybody for anything. I mean, you think about what Yeshua did, the person that was an adult, he said, well, let, the first person, that hasn't sinned, to pick up the first stone.
Yeah.
you know, I don't think any of it's good. Even Yeshua himself didn't, you know, stone that person, even though that is what is in the law.
Yeah, he didn't, sorry.
All good.
he didn't stone her to death there, but later on, Jesus is going to come back to the earth. He's going to come back and exact the revenge and the wrath of Yahweh.
For sure.
He's going to bring a sword. He's going to come back and kill all the infidels and the people that don't believe in him. So he may not have killed that woman there, but he agrees with death as a punishment.
For sure. Yep.
But
I just can't agree that it's a good thing of that at this time in this modern world.
So it doesn't take place now. This was for those people back then, and it doesn't attribute to us.
So I would say some of them, yes.
Some of them. And how do you decipher which ones?
back to the original question, right?
Yeah. I mean, I understand like some of them are for that time. But if you're still following some, why not all? Why not the ones where the kids are disobeying their parents and you're stoning them to death? Why not the ones that require capital punishment?
Well, you also have to follow the law of the land too.
Isn't Jesus' law more important?
If you're breaking the state law, or that, I mean, no, I mean, cause then you're sinning in, I mean, you can't trump,
the law is you're not allowed to go to church, you're not allowed to pray, you're not allowed to believe, you're not allowed to have a Bible. What about those laws? Are those okay to break?
If it stops you from worshiping, then I would say it's okay like that, yeah.
Well, what if it stops you from obeying the laws of Yahweh, like stoning disobedient children?
I would say at that point you're that is a very good question. So yeah, I guess I could say I'm not how you pick the ones that you follow.
You cut out a little bit there. You don't know how you do it?
Yeah. Yep.
Gotcha. So, okay. Well, infidels. Let's go with infidels. In the Bible, Numbers 25, you got to kill Baal worshippers. And then Deuteronomy 13, even if your own brother or your own family member, regardless, tries to deconvert you or talk to another god, you're to kill them. These are his rules as well.
Right.
How do you work with these?
To be honest, I feel like you're just trying to trap me.
No, not at all. Just curious how it works for you. Because, I mean, you say these laws are good, and they worked and they're whatever, and they're perfect for Yahweh. But I don't see them as perfect. I'm seeing horrible things and death and for silly reasons, like picking up sticks or worshiping another deity or telling you to worship another deity. But you're telling me these things are perfect and they're awesome, and I'm not seeing it.
Okay, so are you saying that the Bible is not perfect?
No, definitely not.
Are you saying that's imperfect?
I don't see the Bible as perfect either, no.
No, okay. So what makes the Bible imperfect?
Let's go with all of the magical stuff in there. That's number one. Number two,
what do you mean magical stuff in it?
Oh, magical. Let's go with the turning of blood into a forgiveness. Let's go with Jesus coming back from the dead, animals talking, singing animals in the apocalypse. The apocalypse is full of singing animals.
So you're saying that those things did happen or did not happen?
Did not. No, I don't think that animals can sing. Except for parrots, maybe.
Okay, so like with Genesis, mm-hmm. Is that just a story for you?
Yes, that's these people's idea or attempt to say how the world began, to explain how things got there and whatnot. Especially when you read Genesis 1 and 2, they're completely conflicting ideas. You've got man and woman being created last in Genesis 1. And then Genesis 2, you've got man being created first and Yahweh trying to find him a helper by creating animals, and that didn't work. And then he created woman, and that was the perfect helper, apparently.
Stone.
Does it become real people?
Does what? Oh, sorry, you cut out that first part.
Yeah, it keeps cutting out. I apologize. So at what point does it become something that is, to your life? I mean, because if you know, Genesis, the creation story, is magic. I mean, at what point does it become reality? Right? Was Abraham a real person?
Maybe. Yeah, I'm not going to base my life on it, though.
What do you base your life on then?
Reality, and things that are tangible, things that are, you know, real.
So was Jesus real?
I mean,
real?
I don't, I mean, maybe he might have been. There's definitely a lot of, I don't want to say evidence, but, you know, there's a lot showing that he might have been just an eccentric Jewish teacher. He could have been a real person, but I do not think that he came back from the life. Came back to life at all.
Okay, so you don't think he was he deity?
No. I don't believe in any deity, actually. I don't think that there's any invisible magical people anywhere.
Okay.
In the sky or in my soul or in my heart, you know.
So what happens when you die?
I go to the dirt and I decompose and I become worm food, essentially.
Okay.
You know, cycle of life, circle of life, and all that. Circle of life. You know.
So, I get your podcast now. I didn't realize that you were basically would you say you're a believer?
I would say I'm an agnostic atheist. I have no idea what's out there. I question everything. And I'm not going to give you a for sure what I believe, because you know what? It might change the next minute with evidence. Evidence is always
changing. Fair enough. Okay. Well, then I totally misunderstood what your podcast was.
It happens, man. It's the title, I think. I think it's the title that throws everybody off.
Yeah. I probably wouldn't have gone into some of the discussion knowing that. That's because there's so many more important things that we should be discussing versus the law.
Like what?
I mean, just a deity or a god in general.
Okay.
You know, it's hard to, I've struggled with that. Like, you know, growing up, in the church at one point, you know, I had to figure out, like, was this religion for me?
Mm-hmm.
I had to figure out, like, well, does God exist? And basically I keep coming back to a couple things. I mean, one of them is, just DNA in general. To me, there has to be, you know, higher being, whether it be God or aliens, even. There, you know, if you look at DNA, there's a sequence, there's a code, and someone that basically there's an intelligence, kind of intelligence that came up with that.
That's where I have to stop you. I don't think an intelligence came up with it. And even if I were to claim, I wouldn't claim it was specifically Yahweh. You know what I mean? I mean, there's a lot of deities out there that have claimed to have created life.
Oh, for
sure. Why the specific one? Why did you choose the specific one?
Because looking at the I'll air quotes here, if you like, all of the options out there, it made sense to me. It makes sense. And to me, there is... looking at Judaism in general. A tradition in there that seems to be legit to me. And then when Yeshua came, and these disciples, many of them, as far as I can tell, died their beliefs. You know, they saw something that when Yeshua died on the cross and he came back, you know, these people, their lives were changed forever. And, you know, that's enough for me, you know, to continue to follow.
There's a lot of people that die for their beliefs that aren't Christian. That does not make their religion any more true or valid.
Okay.
So if people are dying for Islam, that doesn't make it any more true. If people are dying for my invisible dinosaur deity, that does not make it any more true or valid.
Right.
That just means that it's been able to convince a lot of people to die for something.
Right. And that's, but that's where, I mean, it makes sense to me with what he did and the history that I can find. And it's hard. You know, I'd look at, the New Testament, you know, with a lens that is, probably a little more different than, you know, a Christian, per se, because I don't think that the New Testament is 100% accurate. I feel like it has been modified to fit the church, to fit their beliefs in. So that in itself is hard for me to deal with, but it still makes sense to me. It's still enough truth for me to follow.
Right. So do you feel the same way about the Old Testament? Do you feel that that's all true, or that somebody has come in and manipulated it?
I don't feel like that has been manipulated. Because I think a lot of things happened with Constantine around 325, with basically the church trying to basically convince. You know, they see this Christianity as a good way to tame the population. And I think the Bible was changed and modified. Now, not at its core, but there are some things in there that I think are, invalid, that were modified.
Such as?
Give us an example. Matthew 28:19, basically the Great Commission, where it says to go out and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts, no one does that. No one goes out and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? And it's weird that they would very recently, I mean, they hear Yeshua say, go out and do this, and then everyone goes out and disobeys. Because in Acts, everyone baptizes in his name, in my name, in Jesus's name, right? That's really weird to me. I think what happened with Matthew 28:19 is that they basically inserted a Trinity into the religion. And that's, you know, problematic to me. Doing basically from what I can see, and it's hard with, you know, 2,000 years of lack of history in certain places. You know, it's hard, but I think that specific verse was modified to basically fit what the councils were trying to accomplish.
Interesting. So you believe the Bible has been modified, though? There are parts that have been modified.
Yes.
And how do you decipher which parts have been modified and which parts have not?
you do your best. That, you know, do research. Don't just accept it because the fact that because mom and dad, you know, said it, you know, like the King James, you know, like, you know, that's the truth. You know, King James is the only translation, you know, but you look at it and, you know, they had since a lot of the things that were translated even before they found like the, what do you call it? The Dead Sea Scrolls, you know, and they, some translations have corrected, you know, some of the things that they found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. King James, obviously, which came out in 1611-ish with a bazillion updates since then. Mm-hmm. But they don't have, you know, the oldest known script, you know, so it's not based on that. It's based on something. Some of it's even is based on sort of being based on the Hebrew, it's based on Latin, which was, you know, a translation from the Hebrew, you know, so it's a little, yeah, it's hard. To be honest, I'm not 100% sure how you, you know, say follow your heart, you know, and do research on it and study.
Right.
So
follow your heart.
I mean, yeah. I feel like God will can guide you. So
yeah, that's an interesting. So could the resurrection have been modified? The story of the resurrection? Because I mean, we've got different stories on it. Mark itself doesn't even originally end with Jesus coming back from the dead.
Right.
So our oldest source doesn't even have that. So how do you know this hasn't been modified?
It very well could have, but I think looking at what the disciples did, and you're going to go back to, you know, you can do it with, you know, but at some point I have to pick, you know, some kind of belief, some kind of religion.
I guess. I mean, you don't have to.
You're right. You're right. You're right. But I have, and it's what rings true to me.
Interesting.
Yep.
So why do you think Jesus had to die?
Some people would say he didn't have to. And even if you look in Judaism, some will say that a blood sacrifice.
Blood
sacrifice is not required.
Gotcha. Well, Hebrews 9:22 says there is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood.
Right. Yeah. And then...
Oh, you cut out. You cut out there. Sorry, man, you cut out.
This is killing me. I'm hearing you mostly totally fine. So sorry about that.
No worries.
No, I would say that some people would say that it's not required. Some, I would say it is for our sins to be basically, be paid for in full. It is required.
So you do believe in bloodshed for payment?
I do.
And you think that's okay?
Arguing with you is probably not that productive. I'm not gonna convince you of any of this.
Right. No, but why do you think that that's a good idea? Why would a loving
being? Why do I think what's a good idea?
Requiring bloodshed for forgiveness. Why would a loving being require bloodshed for forgiveness? Why would a perfect father want blood to be shed in order to forgive his children?
I don't think there's a point in continuing to argue that there's too many things that are, you know, it's, I'm trying to convince somebody that has no
convince. I just want to know why. I don't want you to convince me. I just want to know why you believe it.
Cause it just makes sense to me.
It just makes sense for this loving God to require bloodshed and for forgiveness.
Yeah. Yep.
And all those laws are awesome.
I didn't say that.
Well, they're perfect. I mean, you think they're perfect?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's awesome. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, so which ones do you follow specifically? Is there like a set that you follow? Is it like
most of what I try to follow are the feast and festivals. You look at Leviticus 23, mm-hmm. there's kind of like, I call that kind of like the catch all of all of the feast and festivals. I think that is important to do. I mean, that's kind of the primary thing that I try to follow.
So, yeah, I see. Well, yeah, I mean, that sounds fun, the feast and the festivals, as opposed to the stoning and death and anger and repercussions for worshiping other gods or killing people for oil on their heads for leaving a tent.
Yep, I would agree. Well, yeah. I mean, it's hard to implement those things, so.
Well, in a civilized society, for sure, yeah.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah. For sure.
So do you believe these things are going to be happening in heaven? Are these going to be the rules in heaven?
I believe that there will be a heaven without sin. Therefore, we shouldn't need, I feel like we will follow a lot of these commandments, but we won't need to be, we won't have to worry about these things because there won't be sin causing us, to break these things, if that makes sense.
So you won't have to stone disobedient kids because none of the kids are going to be disobedient.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Kids. Yeah. Let's not go there.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh man. So what do you think it's going to be like in heaven? So, I mean, is it going to be, like it describes? Is it not going to be any day or not any night, no weeping or gnashing. We're all going to have Yahweh's name on our foreheads.
To be honest, I'm not convinced. Like reading Revelation, I struggle with that book in many ways, and I feel like a lot of people, if the scribes and the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the people that studied the law 2,000 years ago spent so much time reading and studying, and when the Messiah came, they did not recognize him. I feel like we look at, fast forward 2,000 years, we're trying to translate, or not translate, we're trying to understand Revelation, and we're trying to understand these prophecies that I think we're going to get wrong. just really, really, really wrong. It says that you're, by reading Revelation, you're going to be blessed. And so therefore I have read it, but I do not dwell upon it. Because it's like reading, sci-fi to a certain extent.
Yeah. So it's way out there, man. It's definitely one of those. Well, I mean, there's a lot of that in the Bible too. A lot of that far out.
There is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But to me, Revelation kind of tops it.
It does. So, it definitely does. It goes overboard with their singing animals, man.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It says that every animal in the world is going to stop what they're doing and sing praises to Yahweh. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot in there. It's pretty fun. But
it is.
So. Yeah. Well, I have run out of questions and pretty much out of time anyways. But do you have any questions for me?
Keep it under an hour, I guess.
Yeah, I try and keep it there. The kids let me go for about an hour or so.
I had my dog in the background sitting kind of whining. I've been meaning to let him out, but haven't been able to. But anyway, no, I don't have any questions. I just it's interesting, interesting discussion. Maybe
gone.
Maybe not.
You cut out that whole part, man. I'm so sorry.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
If you're going to go back and edit this, I'll try to pause
never.
Here. Hold on. You're never going to edit?
I don't edit the conversations at all.
Oh, okay. No problem. No, I was just saying maybe someday we'll have a conversation again in the future, and maybe we might see eye to eye on some things. So we'll
see. I mean, we both agree that Jesus wanted us to follow the Old Testament laws. So, hey, we agree on something right off the bat there. That's pretty good.
It's a win. It's a win.
Oh, man. So, I appreciate your time, man, and all your answers.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Talk to you.
Bye.
That's all the podcast there is for you today. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show and want to support the podcast, stop by patreon.com/BSWthePodcast and become a patron for as little as a dollar an episode. Patrons get access to bloopers, unaired clips, and conversations. You can also support the show by sharing, subscribing, or leaving a review. I love hearing feedback from listeners. Stop by and say hello at the Bible Says What Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, or Instagram pages. Please send all of your hate mail or guest suggestions to bswthepodcast@gmail.com. And no matter which platform you use to listen to your podcasts, don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you won't miss out on the next episode. Until then, would you kindly pick up your Bibles and read them?